Praise and thanks be to the Lord for his grace that we can again be gathered this morning in his presence, hearing already the wonderful songs, the trumpet choir, and everything we do for the glory of the Lord. We cannot thank the Lord enough for the grace which he has given us. Also this morning, we welcome all of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we wish all God's blessing, in particular also those who are joining us online. May God bless us all. Also today, let us sing a couple of songs for the glory of the Lord. Let us start with song number 17. Number 17, Near the Cross. We sing the well-known song 35, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Then Brother Alfred Borg will read us a word for introduction, and Brother Schmidt will pray with us. Number 35, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound.
Amen.
praise and thanks. Also we praise the grace, just as we sang, which God has given us. It is grace that we can be gathered here this morning. Grace it is that God has opened our hearts, our eyes and ears for that what He is doing today. Before we pray together, I read a word from the scripture. We all know it. From Matthew. Matthew 13, from verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Up to here, this wonderful word. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples these words. But I'm asking you, do these words not apply to us today, this morning, for our time in which we are living? Here our Lord says, blessed are those your eyes and your ears for the hear. God did these things on us. Didn't He open our hearts and ears and hearts for that what He is doing in our days? Has He not given us an insight that we can recognize the true one? That's how it is written. And we are in the true one, in Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. Has He not given us insight that we may recognize that God has sent a man in the spirit of Elijah who has turned our hearts back to the beginning? All this grace God has given us, brothers and sisters, yesterday we have heard it so impressive and we have seen it. I am grateful to God for the blessing of last night. And my prayer is this morning, may the Lord bless us anew. And may the hearts who have not yet made the decision, may He open them. And may the truth of God's word enter into them. Is this not all our wish, all our desire, our prayer? Let us now stand up for prayer. I ask that Brother Schmidt comes to pray with us. Great God, we thank You in Christ Jesus our Lord, for You are the same yesterday, today and forever. You said to Your people, the I Am has sent You, and You are the same today, the I Am, the word, the truth and the life, the bread of life and the water of life. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and that we can be satisfied, that we can be strengthened from the riches of your grace. My God, looking at all the things which are happening, even on the in the realms of the so-called Christianity, oh, how much grace you have given us. Unmerited grace. My God, we're not glorifying ourselves, but we thank you that you have given us the grace and we could recognize and believe what your word says also in our days, Lord. We believe it. For you yourself said that it will be so similar, so close to the true. But Lord Jesus, you people whom you have chosen, Lord, they cannot be deceived. But it's impossible, for you alone are holding in your mighty hand. You are leading all and guiding all. Please bless all who believe your word. Lead them by thy Holy Spirit. Give also grace this morning that your word can be brought, that it can fall into a fruitful heart, that it grows and brings forth fruit. Anoint every heart, Lord Jesus. Anoint the lips through which you will speak. Give your word. Give instructions, O God. We expect it from you. For your fullness is great. And you want to give it to us. We thank you for it. We receive it. And we ask you for your blessing. Amen. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Only believe. Amen. You may be seated. We can believe it from our hearts because the Lord promised it. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And we are here from all peoples and tongues gathered really in the presence of God, as at the time of Moses and the prophets, gather ye my people, so that they hear my words. We are gathered in the name of the Lord to hear his words. And he has given the promise in Amos that he would send a hunger, a famine, a hunger and thirst, not a hunger after bread or thirst for water, but to hear his words. And as we just heard it in the word of introduction, these very two different groups, some have ears and are not hearing, they have eyes and see not, they are not converted, they are living without conversion. Did you read the word conversion? And they convert not. He who hears without a conversion, he who hears and sees without a conversion, he hears and sees not. First, we must experience a conversion. We must leave the broad way which leads to destruction. And we must step upon the narrow way which leads to life. And the second group, blessed are your eyes. You who are following me, you who you believe me, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Brothers and sisters, this is happening just like that, just the same in our time. The majority is bypassing what God promised. And then the small flock, the little flock, and it was the will of God to give to the little flock the kingdom of God. And then our Lord says, in parables, he speaks to the multitude. And then he takes his disciples to his side and he speaks to them, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So, always the two groups, some, the one group, they have ears and eyes, see not, hear not, no conversion to Christ. And then the other group, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Not because of pride or puffed up. No, by grace we can confess and testify that God has opened our eyes, that he has opened our ears, and that he has given us the understanding for the Scripture. And in the Scripture, everything was said to us, whatever God wanted to say to us. Now just briefly, the greetings from Burkina Faso, from Brother Ngonga, from Brother Nyagi, greetings from Kigali, from Brother Deo, greetings from Libreville, greetings from Brother Trapani. And then, greetings from Bashkirian. Who knows where that is? Russia.
ein Riesenreich, jetzt alles kleine Provinzen.
First it was a great empire, now it's little provinces. Who knows? Who knows what Tarkakistan is? Also a little kingdom. But we're just rejoicing, be it Kyrgyzstan or Kazakhstan or whatever it might be. God's word is really reaching all nations, all tongues. Then we have greetings from Brother Bukaso, greetings from Rwanda, greetings from Brother Ludwig from Hungary, greetings, many greetings from Italy. May I ask quickly, how many are here today from Italy in our midst? How many? Please stand up. Who is from Italy? Please stand up. Look at that. May God bless you in a very special way. Then we have greetings from Brother Lotika, greetings from Brother Heimann, greetings from Maschi, greetings from Brother Motika, greetings from Yapi, greetings from Amani, greetings from Brother Obed, greetings from Brother Christian, and greetings from Brother Chauffeur, and greetings from Brother Chiba. I hope that we mentioned all. It were really many phone calls. God's word does not return void. It accomplishes really for what it was sent for. Now just to refer briefly to last night, it really left such an impression. And we are shown forever that we are really arrived in the very last time period before the return of Jesus Christ. And let me say it here very clearly, all who are in the invented doctrine of the Trinity, they will return to the Mother Church, into the bosom of the Mother Church. This one just has to know that the Roman Mother Church is not the original church, the early church of Jesus Christ, but that the first centuries have passed, and I noted it down, that only in the year 313 Christianity was recognized by the state, and only in the year 380 the Trinity doctrine in all of the Roman Empire became a duty, a force. Not only the 131 Christian directions, but really every citizen in the Roman Empire from the year 318 on had to submit to the Trinity faith. This was a command of the state, and that's how the state church came into existence. And I really looked it up, where these Trinity ideas are coming from. And let me say it here very clearly, its origin is in paganism, and its invention and proclamation was against God and against God's people of Israel, which only believes in one God, which could only believe in one God. Because besides the one God, there is no other God. And today, we cannot go here into all the details, but so much must be said, that no lie is of the truth. That's how the apostle John has written it down. And the anointing teaches us about everything. And the anointing was resting upon all the prophets. Our Lord was the anointed one. And the New Testament church was anointed with the Holy Spirit, equipped with the power from on high. And therefore, we are brought back to the Word. Our brother emphasized already the word grace. And I really looked up Psalms 136. I looked it up. Psalms 136. In the 26 verses, 26 times, it's written the word grace or mercy. In every single verse, in Psalms 136, every verse ends, "For his mercy endureth forever." For his mercy endureth forever. And then we think on what the Lord God said to Moses, "I will be merciful unto whom I will be merciful, and I will have compassion on him on whom I will have compassion." And then we think on the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The law came through Moses, and the grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when we read the epistles of the apostles, then always grace be with you. Grace at the beginning of the epistles and grace at the end of the epistles. Just very wonderful. And this really distinguishes us from all the others. We are not only speaking of grace, we experienced the grace of God personally. Now, just a few remarks here concerning last night. It's really like this, that from the first chapter of the Bible, nothing but misunderstandings were spread. It starts with Genesis 1, verse 26, "Let us make man." And into this word "us," they just invented the Trinity, although it's not written there. Shall I read you all the scriptures where the word "us" is mentioned? Up to Job 38. Where the Lord was asking the man of God, "Where were you when I created the earth?" And all the sons of God were rejoicing and jubilating. Shall I read to you where the Lord said, "Now man became like one of us"? Shall I read you from chapter 11, verse 7? "Let us go down." Shall I read you from Genesis 18 that the Lord came to Abraham with two angels, and that the two angels went to Sodom. God never spoke to himself, and he never spoke to other persons of the Godhead, but he spoke to them who were present. And the whole heavenly host are surrounding him from the very beginning. Brothers and sisters, it's really on my heart that every one of us has this divine clarity and certainty that no mixing takes place anymore, also doctrinally, no mixing, but that we have taken our stand in the Word of God, trusting the Lord that he makes all things well. We are not belonging to those and of which it is written in Isaiah 51 or Jeremiah 51. Here we are of course told what happens to the people, to the nations who have drunk from the cup of Babylon. Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 7. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. That made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. I didn't read from a newspaper. I read from the Bible. And to it, let me read the misunderstood word from Peter, where all are claiming, Protestants and Catholics are claiming that Peter has written his letters from Rome. And this is really not correct. Really not. He has written his letters from Babylon. Here we read in 1 Peter, in chapter 5, in the last two verses, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. And my son Marcus, Mark. And you all can remember it. When our beloved brother Menard was flying to Baghdad and was participating on a conference, there he had the courage and he went up, down, he drove to Babylon. And if you would look up the family photo album, there are photos of the city Babylon, which is exactly 90 kilometers south of Baghdad. Go into the internet, go to it, and you will find the exact location and description of the city Babylon. And whoever wants to have it more precisely described, may he read from Psalms 137. Psalms 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And in verse 4 is the answer. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And then the answer, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning, her skill. God has given promises to his people. And we have really the Holy Scripture, the Old and the New Testament. And therein, all the subjects we can look up therein. What really touches me is, if one reads in the largest magazine, Idea Spectrum, and it's most certainly the best on all the earth, which reports of all the world. And then the Pope is shown. Who is kissing 8 bones of Peter in Rome. He's kissing 8 bones of Peter in the city of Rome. And Peter was never in Rome. Why do I say this? We have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we followed the precious and holy word of God. And we all know exactly. One fable is following the other fable. But the time has just come that we leave all the fables, all the traditions, that we throw it away from us, that we don't believe anything except it is written in the Bible. And only then it comes to fulfillment what our Lord has said. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, please, all of you, each one of you personally, make your decision in his heart. Not to believe anything anymore, but only that what God really said in his word. And we also know what is happening with Israel. Everything will have an end, just as God has purposed it in his counsel. Here we have the newest subjects. The debate about the Temple Mount and who will have the sovereignty over the Temple Mount. Who will have it finally? Regardless of what people are doing in the meantime and deciding, right at the end, it will come to fulfillment what God has said in his word. The second headline is Netanyahu confirms that the Mount Zion cannot be left to the Vatican. Here are really important statements which one can take out from the internet. And then the next headline. Vatican wants to have the control over Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the Lord's, and the Temple Mount is also the Lord's. Whoever wants to know where the Temple Mount belongs, let him read Genesis 22, when the Lord God commanded to Abraham, take thy only son whom thou lovest and sacrifice him unto me on the mount which I will show thee. Let us read it so that all of you know that it's really written like this in the Bible. Genesis chapter 22. And here It's verse 2. Genesis 22, verse 2. And God said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Let us go straight to 2 Chronicles, where we are told clearly what has happened then after. 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, on Mount Moriah, there where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. There Solomon, or David, built the temple of the Lord. And we all know the temple will of course also be rebuilt. But God alone will complete his work. And this not only with us, but also with Israel. And do you know where this is written? There are really two special mountains, Mount Zion and Moriah, the Temple Mount. But listen closely now. What will take place when the Lord will complete his work with the church and with Israel? Revelation, chapter 14. Revelation, chapter 14. Here we have really both the completion of the church, which was raptured and which are in heaven, and the 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, who are hearing the song from heaven, and who will then learn the song and tune in. Revelation 14, from verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And now listen closely. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn that song except the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Here we have the completion before our eyes. The raptured flock sings in heaven, is playing harps, praising the Lord, our God. And the 144,000 at that moment they are already sealed on Mount Zion and are hearing the song from heaven and are tuning in. So, God will complete His work with the bride church and with the elect 144,000. Just as sure as He has written it in His word. So, once again, referring to last night, this great conference in Texas, three cities are coming into my mind in this state of Texas. Dallas or Bobo or Houston, Texas. In Houston, Texas, Brother Branham, 1950, he had the most mighty meetings. 8,000 people were gathered in the stadium. And then a Baptist preacher came who just said, "The days of the apostles are past. There's no healing anymore." And then the debate followed with Brother Bosford, which I knew personally, whom I knew. And then right at the end, this critic just said, "Where is the man? Why doesn't he come? Why doesn't he say anything?" And then this man came. And he didn't have much to say. He just said simply, "I'm not here for my sake. The Lord who sent me, He will speak for me." And do you know what happened? Mr. Ayers and Mr. Kipperman, they made photographs for the press media. And only one photo became actually a photo with a pillar of fire above the head of Brother Branham in January 1950. And you all know, of course, I made the journey to Washington because I heard that Brother Branham said this photo with a supernatural light hangs in Washington, D.C., in the hall, in the Religious Hall of Art. What was left to me? Just to make a visit in the city of Washington. Really to go there, seeing it with my own eyes, holding there the photo in my hands. And also there, I'm probably the only eyewitness which is on earth who had the courage to fly to Washington. It was a 11:15 on that morning when I entered this building and I saw the photo with a supernatural light. And it's written in the book of Gordon Lindsay, "A man sent from God." And there is also the confirmation of Dr. George J. Lacey, who confirmed as the highest man in the office in the USA that this photograph is genuine, that no double exposure has taken place, no retouching has taken place, but the light was there and it is genuine. So, God has given much grace. And then came, of course, also for me, the June 1958, when I participated in the huge conference. All the Pentecostal preachers with a high name, with ranks, and well known, they participated. One day, second day, the third day, I was listening, watching, and then it was so far. Then I went to Brother Branham, and I was asking him, and I said, I see the difference between your ministry and between the ministry of all the other evangelists. And then he opened his heart and he just said, of the commission, of the sending, of the call, of the message which God has entrusted to him. And the nice thing on the conversation on the 12th of June 1958, the nice thing was, right at the end he said, Brother Frank, you will return to Germany with this message. What did I know at the time? What God wanted to do and what would take place? And if you now look back, God really has given grace. And we are having part in that, what God is doing right now. But it's just necessary that the true is compared with a false. That the truth of the Word of God is put upon the lampstand. And that everything what is not in conformity with God and His Word does not belong to our confession of faith. And we all know, let us say it openly and freely, all the denominations, they have their creed. We believe and we teach, we believe and we teach. We don't need any creed to put up. We have it here, in the Old and in the New Testament. Once again, coming back to the word of introduction, the great multitudes are hearing and don't understand. They are seeing as in the days of our Lord. They see. They have seen everything. They have experienced everything. Multitudes have seen it. And when the Lord then started to speak doctrinally, I and the Father are one, when the doctrinally part started, then many left him. And the Lord looks at his disciples and is asking, do you also want to leave me? And then came the confession of Peter, Lord, where shall we go? Only thou hast the words of eternal life. That's how it is now with us. Where shall we go? And the second point, which remains for us, is really what Paul has said in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, that he wanted to present Christ a chaste virgin. And this must be that way. Not committing spiritual fornication, but just remaining in the Word of God. Nothing but the Word of God. And therefore, it must be emphasized that all who are born of God, born of the Spirit of Truth, born of the Word of Truth, and having a direct connection to the Word of Truth by the Spirit of Truth, just as our Lord said himself, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Also, this must be said openly. Not only that the multitudes are bypassing what God promised and what He is doing right now, Also, this must be emphasized. The many doctrines which exist within the message. And hardly a week is passing when not something new can be heard. Also they, and the Bible says it, also they have not yet experienced a true conversion to Christ. Also they have not experienced yet a new birth and renewing by the Spirit of God. Only if our most inner side was pardoned by God, and that we on the inside have an experience with God, then we will understand what Brother Branham preached in the right way and placing it biblically and not coming up with new doctrines and teachings. So, after the going home of Brother Branham, we truly have carried the true word of God into all the world. And I ask now in love, and nevertheless I ask in truthfulness before God, I'm asking, what did all the people do who 20, 30 years later came on the scene, who have put up presenting their own doctrines, who are speaking of the prophet, who never knew him personally, never heard him personally, and didn't make a personal experience of a conversion, leave alone having received a divine commission? What shall it bring? It just brings a total confusion into the message of the end time. But I say it here with joy. I say it with gratitude. It's only the pure word, seed was sown, and only the pure word seed will be harvested as the ripe wheat into the heavenly garner. I guarantee you that at the harvest of the big wheat field will be no single thistle, no single tares. With God, only pure wheat seed was sown, and only the pure wheat will be harvested. Everything else is at the edges. And you all know, the tares are always growing at the edges. And whoever comes from the farm, he knows exactly where the tares, where the thistles are. They are not in the midst of the field. They are somewhere at the edges. Leave everything behind, what is left and right at the edges. Leave it at the edges. Just concentrate yourself onto the true, eternal Word of God. And believe in all points as the Scripture has said it. And only then we will be found in the will of God. Let us summarize that what we have seen yesterday and experienced, that the Pentecostal preachers were gathered in Texas, gathered there to listen to this bishop of the Anglican Church, and right at the end also listening to the Pope and to see him. Brothers and sisters, it shows us who doesn't recognize the gracious visitation of God, he remains in the error. Although the greatest things of God are happening, I mentioned it, the large meetings in Houston, Texas, the Lord comes down, is descending. Do the Pentecostal preachers know not about all the supernatural, what God has done? Why are they bypassing it? And because they didn't believe the truth, therefore God has sent them strong delusion so that they believe the lie, because they didn't believe the truth. So our decision has been made. We believe what God has said in His Word. Also this we understood, the Bible scriptures, how Bible scriptures are used for their own purpose. Of the spirit of Elijah they were speaking, and then right at the end it was spoken of as God has sent Joseph to Egypt to then guarantee the surviving of his brothers. So the man was presenting himself that it is he who guarantees now all the surviving in his church. How grateful we can be that God has really opened our eyes in this time. And let us say it once again, brothers and sisters. It's not our hobby horse. And we're not only speaking in every meeting about the Godhead and about the baptism, but these are the most important subjects. The most important subject is the subject of the Godhead, so that they recognize you, the only true God. Therein is eternal life. And He is the true God and eternal life. When He reveals Himself in heaven as Father, then He, of course, can reveal Himself in the Son on the earth. God can reveal Himself in a manifold way above us, amongst us, in us. And He forever remains the same. Let us say it clearly. The invention of the Trinity is the greatest blasphemy which exists on the earth. And it truly comes from paganism, from occult, from the spiritism, whatever has to do with occult among the nations. Just read it up. How the Trinity came into existence. What kind of Trinitarian Godheads are amongst the nations? And that now this Christian God, they wanted to make Him just as all the heathen gods are, with three faces or three persons. Just read it up. And this all of Christianity believes, be it Roman, be it Orthodox, be it Lutheran, whatever. And all are in unbelief and occult. There's no true faith in a Trinity. There's only one true faith, and this is in the one true God. Because with God remains everything as it was from the beginning. I write it now, briefly, to give the last warning that all have to come out from this unbelief. And if it even would be like out of the fire, taking them out, that really amongst the people of God, that there's no mixing anymore, but that we are redeemed by the blood by the blood of the Lamb, we received forgiveness, justification through the true faith in the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. I have the question of all these people, why don't they question themselves? Why? Why is the word Trinity not written a single time in the Bible? Triune God, not a single time in the Bible. God the Son, not a single time it's written in the Bible. God the Holy Ghost, not written a single time in the Bible. Why? Why? Why do they read over the Word of God? It has nothing to say to them. To us, He has much to say. But always, through the precious and holy Word, just appreciate, love the Word, thank the Lord for His holy Word. Because thus our Lord said it, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is the truth. The second point is, of course, the biblical baptism and how took it place in the early church, be it in the book of Acts, chapter 2, or chapter 8, or chapter 10, or chapter 19, all, be it Jews, Samaritans, heathen, all were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the New Testament covenant name in which God revealed Himself to us as Father, in the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. All of them, they read the same Bible. Why don't they see it? Because they have eyes and they cannot see. Why don't they hear? Because they have ears and are not hearing. They're not listening at all. And therefore, our Lord said in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, He really said, you are not listening at all to me, what I say. How can you then understand it? Do you think that all these Pentecostal preachers are sitting down, would sit down and would listen to us? Not at all. They would say, this is heresy. God's word is not heresy. God's word is the absolute truth. And it's written, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One foundation upon which the New Testament church is grounded. And according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. We are carriers of the word, carriers of the divine truth. And we are preaching that what the apostles and prophets preached, and by grace we arrived at the end of time. We have been brought back to the beginning. Our Lord is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, He who was and who is and who is to come. And our Lord has laid it in such a way that before the return of Jesus Christ, everything is restored. Has to be restored. Please, don't take any time to think about it. Believe. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Don't look to the denominations, to the charismatics who have all kinds of things. Look to the Lord. Look into the Word and believe as the Scripture says. And all who are here today and who are not yet baptized biblically, today you have the possibility to be baptized biblically, repenting, consecrating your lives to the Lord, really making a conversion to Christ, the Savior, knowing that He took our sin and guilt upon Himself. John the Baptist has proclaimed it loud, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And then all of us, we know precisely, when our Lord and Savior died, and when He cried out, "It is finished," then the veil in the temple has torn from top to bottom, and the Ark of the Covenant could be seen. The veil was torn. Now we have free access to the throne of grace. In the Old Testament, if somebody wanted to enter the Holy of Holies, then he had to die on the spot. And now, when we don't enter the Holy of Holies, then we remain dead, dead in the spirit. Therefore, in Hebrews, it's written, "Let us come with joy unto the throne of grace." Our Lord and Savior has, of course, entered with His holy divine blood. He has entered the Holy of Holies, and He laid it unto the mercy seat. He placed it unto the Ark of the Covenant. He has forgiven us all our sins, all our guilt, all our disobedience, all our unbelief. He has taken away from us, and He nailed it to the cross. When we read yesterday in Matthew, what was written already in Isaiah 42, He will complete His work victoriously. Brothers and sisters, although we cannot see it yet now, the Lord will have the victory. He will manifest the victory of Calvary. All the enemies will be made His footstool. And the victory of our God will be manifested. This, we said many times, His victory is, of course, our victory. He has given us everything by His grace. Please accept it by faith. If we are not part of the elect, then the Lord would not have opened our understanding for the Scripture at all. Then we would belong to the great multitude, of which our Lord said, "They have eyes and see not, they have ears and hear not, they have hardened their heart, and they didn't experience a conversion." We didn't harden our hearts. We didn't walk on in our own will and thinking we are in the right. Just go from church to church, from denomination to denomination. All are believing that they believe in the right way, that they teach the right way, that they are right. But only God can be right. And only that what is written in the Word of God is divine truth. And therefore, the Almighty God has sent His prophet, our beloved Brother Branham, to give us the last call, the last message, to give it for the last time, that the calling out, that the separation and that the perfect preparation can take place in obedience, and that it finds fulfillment what is written, and his bride has made herself ready, and it was granted to her to be arrayed in white, fine linen. And the white linen is the righteousness of the saints. Not self-righteousness, but the righteousness which was given to us by the faith in Christ Jesus, in the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary, as we would have never sinned. That's how God looks at us, through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of the new covenant. And as we said here repeatedly, the life is in the blood. In this divine blood was the divine life. And the same divine life which was in Jesus Christ our Lord is in the blood-bought flock. Please receive it. Please accept it. And just say, as Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. Say it by faith. And then God gives us also the grace, what has been still left, to put it off, to really be found in the perfect will of God. Our God is faithful. May all nations, may all tongues, may all denominations walk their own ways. We are walking the way of God, the way of obedience, the way which our brothers and sisters walked from the very beginning. And if it is written in Acts 3, verse 21, him the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And so we recognize this is the time in which the church is brought back to the original foundation, with the original doctrine, with the original power. And please receive it by faith. Accept it. God has called us to the highest purpose which there is in the plan of salvation. He called us so that his will might be done at the end of the time of grace here on the earth through the church. And we consecrate our lives to him, and we say with all our hearts, not my will, but thy will be done. Not as I willed, but as thou willed. Once again, in view of that, what was said yesterday already, may all churches unite. May all go back to Rome. He who is of God will return back to the word which came forth from Jerusalem, back to the beginning, back to that what God has said at the beginning through his servants. And this we emphasized many times. The first and the last baptism must be the same. The first and the last Lord's Supper must be the same. Everything must be the same in the church. It must be restored, being brought back into the original condition without your and my effort. God said, I will restore. You just need to believe. Just believe to agree with God. What could Abraham do when God said to the 90-year-old man, the promise, the next year around this time, I will return to thee, and then Sarah, thy wife, will have a son. And then it's written, he didn't look unto himself. He looked on the invisible as he would see him. And he knew what God said to me, this will take place. He didn't have to worry about it. How was it with Mary? In the moment where she believed the promise, then the Holy Ghost came upon her, and the Word became flesh, and the Son was born. How is it with us? In the moment where we really believe with all our hearts, and where the Word of promise is being received in us, then the Holy Spirit comes upon us and the new divine life springs up in us by His grace. So, don't you worry. God has His plan with Israel. Among the nations is taking place what was foretold, and in the church It is also happening. And listen, in closing, listen to this last serious warning. In the seven church age messages, it is always emphasized, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. In the last church aid's message, the Lord said, I counsel thee that you buy thyself of me, and that you anoint your eyes so that you become seeing. May God give the anointing of the Holy Spirit. May He let it come down over us, over upon all the blood-bought flock, so that we in this time can hear the voice of the Lord and letting ourselves be placed into the will of God according to the Word of God. Do you all believe that we are very close before the return of Jesus Christ? That Bible prophecy is being fulfilled really in all the areas? Do we believe that our time has come to trim the lamps, to fill them, and that it is high time to fill the vessel with oil, to refill again? Always remember verse 10 in Matthew 25. And those who were ready went in to the marriage supper, and the door was closed. I say this in the presence of God. I believe that all who hear the word of God, who believe the promises for this time, those who believe it, that it will be revealed to them by God, and that no one needs to give private lessons, that not one must teach the other, but that all are being taught by God, and all are coming into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. One heart and one soul. Becoming one heart and one soul. So that the Lord can finish His work in all of us. And as sure as He has shown me in January 1981, one of the most mighty experiences He gave me, and I experienced the rapture. I tell you, I don't go without you. I just go with you, only with you. I only go with you. Amen. The Lord will finish His work in all of us. Please, don't look on your trials. Don't look on circumstances. Don't look on that what is happening visibly around you. Look unto the Lord who has given the promise, and He will fulfill them in us and through us. We, in this time, we will experience the completion by His grace, the perfect restoration, the manifestation of the power of God in the church of the Lord. We believe and we trust, and the Lord will bring it to pass. I say it once again. May all walk their own ways, because they have ears and are not hearing. They have eyes and are not seeing. But we who we have found grace in the sight of God, we are hearing and we are seeing what the Lord has to say to us. And we see also what He is doing right now. And we may have part in it. Now just the thought which comes to me. Three times it is written, when you will see all these things coming to pass, yes, this is coming to pass outwardly. Famines, wars, all the unrests, everything is happening. But this is not enough for us. We want to see that, what God promised to us. We want to have part in that, what God is doing right now. And as He said, and as we have read it, He will finish His work with His church in a wonderful way. And then also with Israel. And we, as the bright church, we will sing in glory. And 144,000, they will then tune in. And then God will start His rule on Mount Zion. Just let me read one scripture to it. From the prophet Joel. Then the Lord will start His reign, and all the earth will have part in it. Joel, last chapter, chapter 3, verse 16. Joel, some have three chapters, some have four chapters. Joel, with us, it's chapter 3, verse 15. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. Verse 17, the first part, so shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion. He is completing His work. And when the 144,000 will be gathered on Mount Zion, and when they will hear the singing, and when the Lord will reveal himself to them, oh, brothers and sisters, we could just clap our hands. We can rejoice that we can live now, having found grace in the sight of God, that we can believe, as the scripture says, having a direct part in that what God is doing right now. To him, our faithful Lord and God, be the glory and the praise throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up. Perhaps we ask Brother Jean-Claude that he comes, that we can also sing in French. Actually, I would like to have the best to have heard a song in Spanish. Most surely, we will do it, that at every weekend, another language can be heard. We are, of course, gathered very internationally. And many songs are sung, which all know, and all can tune in. To our Lord be the glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Merci, merci.
Thank you.
Einfach schön, dass wir
just so nice
von mitsingen können,
that you can tune in with all our hearts.
Von darum bedeutet, wir erwarten, wir erwarten.
We are expecting you.
Wenn sie singen,
when they sing,
Jesus reviens,
Jesus comes again.
Haben wir ja alle
actually,
dazu gelernt,
we all are learning.
Kaum noch jemand,
there are hardly
in
one
Europa,
in Europe
der nicht Englisch
who
ein
could not speak a little bit of English and also French, only two languages will remain foreign to me. The one is Hungary. Hungary doesn't fit anywhere. Not into the Slavic languages, not into the Romanic language. Hungary is just like of another continent. And similar with you in Finland. Suomi is also a language where one really doesn't understand one single word. But in the course of time, we learned a couple of words. Pitus Jumala. Not so. Thanks be to God. Yes, we are grateful. Today, we will pray for all our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. We all know what kind of unrests are going on there right now. We all know the country is divided religiously. West, in the West, all are Roman Catholic. In the east of the River Dnieper are all Russian Orthodox. And this is the big problem. It's a religious problem. And if religion mixes into politics and politics into religion, then everything goes upside down. And you all know
for
the whole Russian-speaking country, our posting takes place from the Ukraine. And we will pray that God gives grace so that the message can be carried on. Then, addressed to all who are here today for the first time, may God bless you from the riches of His grace. Please come again as long as we can still gather. We are grateful. We appreciate it that you are traveling far distances to come to hear God's word. Last Tuesday, we made a visit at Sister and Brother Kupfer. And you cannot imagine what is going on in Brother Kupfer. 34 years, he traveled always to Krefeld, and he traveled always to Zurich to the meetings. And now, it doesn't work anymore. We will pray for our brother and sister that God may bless them and that He is with them, that He comforts them, and that He gives them new strength. Now, addressed to all who are not yet baptized biblically and who have not yet consecrated their lives to the Lord, he wants to make use of the opportunity after the service. The sun is shining. Today, Brother Schmidt will baptize you. May really all make use of this opportunity and may they be baptized biblically so that obedience can be added to the faith in the new covenant, as in the old covenant, obedience and faith belongs together. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's how it is written. But whoever believes and is not baptized, what is with him? If the Lord has said, he who believes and is baptized, then it just belongs together. Then you have no choice. Then you should say, I will decide. No, God decided for you. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So, please, no own way anymore, but walking on the prepared way of the Lord. Walking by faith. And then we can just say, may all come to the front while we are singing, just as I am. Those who would like to be baptized, please come now to the front. So that we can. Are there still some who would like to come? How old are you? We are not baptizing under 12 years of age. Pardon? 13. Thank you. I just receive it from the Holy Scripture. Our Lord, from his consecration, he was again mentioned only when he was 12 years old, when he was in the temple.
Yes,
when he was speaking about the Word of God. At the age of 12, everyone can decide for himself. Then the word doesn't apply anymore. Let the children come to me. And suffer them. Who reads precisely? The Lord didn't baptize the children. He took them into his arms and he blessed them. And he said, only he who becomes like a child, he can enter into the kingdom of God. We at this place, we want to agree in all points, in all areas. We want to act biblically, walking biblically, baptizing biblically, and by this, following the Lord and giving him the glory by faith and obedience. Today I didn't give you a report of the last trip. I said it yesterday already. God really blessed beyond asking and beyond understanding. He has given grace to the nine meetings, three in Thailand, three in Burma, and three in Cambodia. And everywhere, God has blessed from the riches of his grace. And our brothers are distributing the word in other languages. And so we are just grateful, grateful with all our hearts, especially in the one meeting. There were just a couple of minutes, passed. Then a brother came to the front and he said, 200 copies were already made of this sermon. We can give this sermon to each one here. It's just wonderful to experience how God also in this technical area, in the most in the countries where you don't think of, all are up to date in the technique. We were just in Phnom Penh, there the phone was ringing of Brother Lukram, and suddenly he said, "Brother Frank, somebody wants to speak to you." And the answer was, I'm in London. We have listened to the sermon just now. Just imagine, wherever, on whatever country, everywhere people can tune in, everyone can listen what is being preached. God willing, now in March, I will make a trip to, once again, onto the Philippines, to Korea, to China, Mongolia. It will be a 12-day journey. Remember me, so that God always gives strength to the body to carry this precious word, so that the ends of the earth can hear it, that they can believe it, and that they can be added. In the moment where the last one has been called, then the door is shut, and the Lord will do the finish himself. Once again, I thank you all that you are coming to hear the word, so that the whole world can see and hear. We are coming from all over Europe, from Africa. We are coming together from everywhere to give the last message, to give the last call, the message of this hour, to believe it and to receive it. Today I have the question still. Who believes that Brother Branham really sent Brother Branham? Amen. And who believes that the message which God entrusted to him, that we carry it into all the world? Amen. We can just thank and again thank. You have consecrated your lives to the Lord. You have consecrated your lives to the Lord. And now, together we will pray that God will bless you. And then we will ask Brother George that he thanks together with us the Lord. And we will give greetings to all, also the visit from Hungary. May God lead everyone together who are believing now, and may they receive and accept what the Lord has given us in this time. Brother Schmidt, please come and pray with all of us, especially for those who are going to be baptized. Heavenly Father, we say thank you for your grace and faithfulness, that your word does not return void, but it has accomplished for what you have sent it for. Lord in heaven, you have sent your word for salvation, for the redemption, for the deliverance, for the faith. And now we have the witnesses before us, and we know that your word and spirit has worked in every heart here, young and old, great and little. Oh, great God, we thank you. Please, each one who gives testimony today with a good conscience to walk before you and before the people with a good conscience, please bless them from the riches of your grace. Fill them with the power from on high and give grace that your word can be carried on into all the world. Bless us all and give grace that we are also witnesses, that people are consecrating their lives, their thinking, their walking to you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now we ask Brother George to come, and Brother Gilbert, please come. Thank the Lord. Brother Arben, will you please translate him? My Lord. God, our Father, we are happy and grateful what we heard today from your word. And we are aware that you will reach the destination. We want to say together with Mary, Lord, we are the handmaid of the Lord. We are available for you. May it be done unto us according to thy word. Blessed those who believed. For that what they heard from the Lord will come to fulfillment. May this joy be also our joy today. Despite of all the trials, despite of all the circumstances, may we be joyful that we can have part in that what you're doing right now. We commit unto you, your servant, for all the work which still has to be done. It's of course not his own will. It's your will, Lord. May you strengthen him, Lord. May all the journeys in March be blessed, and may they bring forth fruit for eternity. And may the last one be called who has to be called, so that we can enter into glory. May you grant it to us, for we asked it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord our God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, for you have spoken directly to us. You have given us ears to hear, and we have come, and we have heard what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. You are a faithful God. You are watching over us. You have prepared the table here so that we can feast from it. We have come and we have feasted upon the spiritual food. You have given us this privilege that we can have part in that what you are doing today. You didn't leave us far away from that what you're doing. You have included us into it. Thank you for our today. We thank you for this privilege. You are the one who has his way with each one of us. May all the others walk their own ways. But it pleased you, Lord, to call us, to choose us, to include us into that what you're doing, May your name be highly praised. You have ordained us for eternal life. You have given us eternal life. And you have ordained us to be raptured. May you complete your work now. We thank you, Lord, for this ministry which is connected to your plan of salvation. We thank you, Lord. You will finish your work with us and through us. May all the glory be given to you. And in this time in which we are preparing for your wonderful return, grant it to us that we are ready, Lord. We thank you. You have anointed our eyes that we can see what is happening. You have opened our ears so that we can hear what you have to say to us today. You have given us a heart to believe and to obey. Thank you for this weekend which we spent in your presence. We have believed that you spoke to us. We thank you that we could have part in the blessing which you bestowed upon us. We thank you, great God, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we prayed. Amen. Especially to our brother to Georgia, we give you greetings. And we give our brother from the Iran, who will travel into Turkey, we give you greetings. May the Lord be with you. May he be with you all. And you can prepare the way that one day we can come also into Turkey and also to Georgia to come there to proclaim the word of God. We are grateful to God that the Lord is calling out from all people's tongues and nations. Then, the Lord willing, beginning of April, we will have our 40-year anniversary. In April, it will be exactly 40 years ago when we dedicated this building to the Lord. And when we consecrated ourselves also, and when we made ourselves available for the Lord. I have finished the circular letter. In the coming week, it will be printed already in the various languages. Therein, some points are mentioned, and that what God has done. So, on the first weekend in April, for us, for me, it will be a special remembrance and thankfulness, remembering what God has done by His grace. And God willing, I say it already now, God willing, on Good Friday, we will be in the south of Germany, in the city of Böblingen. We will have a meeting there on Good Friday, so that brothers and sisters from Austria and from Switzerland and from the surroundings, that they can also come there. We do what we can do. We redeem the time. And you are always welcome. May God bless all. All who have come from the neighboring countries. May God bless all. And may He be with all of us by His grace. Also, this weekend, will bring forth fruit for eternity. Decisions have been made. We have placed ourselves onto the side of God. Let us now thank Him together. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this weekend, for your word. You have opened our eyes. You have opened our ears. We may see what is happening now. But in particular, we thank you that we may believe what you have promised to your church, and that we may hear what the Spirit is saying through the word to the churches. Beloved Lord, lift up thy countenance over all the earth, over all the nations and tongues and peoples, from the east to the west, from the south to the north. May all be blessed in your precious and holy name of Jesus. Bless our beloved brother from Georgia in a special way, and be with him and with all our brothers and sisters there. Bless all ministering brethren, all who give out the food, who are carrying your word. We thank you for it, and we ask you, lift up thy countenance over all of us and give us thy peace and thy blessing, and be with us all in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. And all the people say, and all the people said,
Amen.
Praise, honor, and glory. Amen.